This meeting is now being recorded.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the CCT plenary call. I don't know how this works. Is there anybody that's on the phone that isn't dialed in through Global Meet?
Yes. Stan.
Awado, okay. You show up in the Global Meet, so it's okay. Is there anybody with an update? Go ahead.
James. I'm just dialed in. I'm not on Global Meet. Jamie.
Okay, great. Yeah, you show up in Global Meet as well. Is there anybody with an updated statement of interest? And, okay, so let me, the first item on the agenda is Jordan's. I'm going to hand the, on recommendation 5, so I'm going to hand the microphone to Jordan.
Hey, Jonathan, I don't know if you saw my email this morning, but I'm sort of moving around in the first part of this call, so it'd be better if we could move my stuff to the end.
Oh, I read that email, but then somehow thought, because I saw your name in there, that you were available.
I'm available. It's just sort of noisy, and I won't have access to the documents for the first sort of half an hour or so.
Okay. Wado, are you ready to lead a discussion on recommendation number 9?
Yes, I am.
All right, well, then why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I think it's one of the shorter recommendations. It'll be quite quick to go through it. The recommendation was to conduct periodic studies of registrants. I made this last edit some time back, I think about a month ago, where I think we were to have a meeting which didn't materialize, but I've not done any other edits. This edit I made after the last public comment on the new section. If I just read through it, because it's short, the rationale related findings is the inability to examine registrant motivations and behavior hinders efforts to study competition and choice in the TLD marketplace. And we were addressing this to the ICANN organization. The level, priority level was a prerequisite to the next round. Consensus within the team, I think that's what we're trying to come to with this exercise. And then the details were that the survey should be designed and continuously improved to collect registrant trends. Some initial thoughts on potential questions is Appendix F, which actually doesn't exist right now. But I think when we finish everything, the report, there will be an Appendix F, which will have some suggested questions for future registrant surveys. Actually, this document I have here is saying future consumer survey should be future registrant survey. Then to expand the benefit of expand the benefit of this exercise, ICANN.org recommends leveraging and aligning the survey with the requirements of the GTLD Marketplace Health Index. I think that's the addition to this recommendation, that document that we made the last time we discussed it on a group. Then finally, the success measures for this recommendation, the availability of relevant data for use by the ICANN organization, contractors, and the ICANN community for its work in evaluating competition in the DNS marketplace. So I hope everybody had a copy of the recommendation and has been able to follow as I read through it. I welcome any questions or suggested changes.
Thanks, Wado. Does anybody have any questions or comments for Wado? And is there anybody that doesn't have the documents for today's meeting? Jean-Baptiste has sent them out, but it could have ended up in your clutter.
I think this one was not sent out. It was not there on time, so it was not sent out. But it's an old one that I circulated a while back.
Boito, if it wasn't part of the document sent out by Jean-Baptiste, can you forward it around to the group right now?
Okay, I'll send it by email. Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, I'm doing that straight away.
Thank you. So we'll let people look at it as well, but so we may circle back to you with questions or comments,
okay,
unless anybody has any based on Wada's description.
Okay.
Hey, Wada, the version I shared with the review team is the one from your last email that you sent to me just before the call.
Okay. I'm sending another one just now.
Okay. I think, do we have Drew? Yeah, we do. So, Drew, can I hand the virtual microphone to you to handle these consolidated recommendations?
Sure, Jonathan. I'll just speak briefly. Just following up from yesterday's sub-team call, we agreed that we would replace recommendations 19 and 34, calling for additional research, with a modified version of recommendation C. I've already updated recommendation C, which calls for ongoing DNS abuse research to be published. I already updated that, taking into account a conversation we had on the plenary a few weeks back. And I've updated other parts of the DNS abuse chapter. So I'll send them all out as one updated chapter, with the potential exception being that David and I are still working on recommendation D, which will take a bit longer, whereas the rest of the DNS abuse chapter, I'm just about done with the updates for that. And otherwise, I could send out recommendation C on its own if people would like to go ahead and just see that on its own and approve it. And it will also now include a success measure. And I apologize for the background noise. It's a snow day today in D.C., so I have a little friend home with me.
Do you want to share with us what the success measure is, Drew? Is there anything else in broad terms that you want to share to spur discussion besides just sort of a status update?
Sure. So I have not drafted the exact language, but the success measure will be consistent with what we're now saying in sorry for the background noise. What we're now saying in the body of the recommendation about the this research needs to be something published regularly and that can actually inform ongoing policy decisions as well as compliance gaps so that the community is able to see if, in fact, there are areas in which DNS abuse is flourishing and existing measures are not working. So I need to actually craft the language for that. I've not crafted that yet.
Thanks, Drew. Does anybody have questions or comments for Drew? I just received Watto's email, so everyone check your inbox and take a look as we're going through at Watto's text. See if it generates any more questions or comments. And then next in the queue this morning is David. But I don't think I see him. Jean-Baptiste, did you tell me David sent apologies, or he's supposed to be on, right?
I did not receive apologies from David, and he's not on the call, as you mentioned. Unfortunately.
Okay.
Hey, Jonathan, it's Jordan.
Yeah.
Hey, I've got stuck for a couple minutes, so I probably have a couple minutes to talk through at least the parking updates, if you want to do that right now.
All right.
You want to jump around
it.
On the agenda? Sure. Okay, so I just sent around last night an update to the parking paper. It's not materially different from, in terms of recommendation or substance, from the previous version that we reviewed on the last plenary call. It has been updated with the feedback based on the last call, as well as Laureen had sent around a bunch of comments in the doc that I tried to address in the last set of revisions. So hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at that, and I don't have a lot to say other than to react to any questions or comments at this point.
Did everyone get a chance to look at the parking document, and did it generate any questions or comments?
This is Laureen. So I'm sorry, Jordan. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but I will look at it today, shortly after the call. And if I still have questions, I'll send them around. It was hard. It came very late.
Yeah, no worries.
Hello.
Charlie, go ahead.
Yeah, just the explanation that overall, however, we do not believe defensive registrations by trademark holders constitute a large enough fraction of overall registrations in new GTLDs to significantly alter our approach to measuring effects on competition. For a complete discussion of this topic, see section 4.3. Jordan, can you briefly remind me about what is in section 4.3?
Sure. Section 4.3, I guess, makes two points. One is that, generally speaking, trademark holders are reluctant registrants, there's pretty good evidence that they're not registering in order to gain a competitive advantage or innovate, but rather in many cases they feel obliged to. But then we do numerical analysis to try to understand how big a fraction of the total registration base those trademark registrations, the defensive trademark registrations, represent, and come up with a number of 0.3% of the total. So that's why we conclude it's not, while it's definitely a negative cost to trademark holders, it's not material to the sort of overall numbers of registrations within the new GTLD program.
Okay. So the second point was that the 0.3% defensive defensive registration is only 0.3% of the total registrations, so that's a very small percentage. Okay,
that's right.
First point.
So, and the first point is just acknowledge. I mean, we do want to acknowledge that there is a the trademark holders that do tend to register defensively, and that those defensive registrations don't deliver a lot of value to the trademark holders. I think, you know, the other thing, like in addition to the 0.3%, we did note that most trademark holders are not registering very many defensive registrations. I think there's some IP trademark holders would argue any is too many, but you know, we find like there's a median of 3 registrations per mark that's actually registered within the new GTLD program. Most trademarks that are registered in .com aren't registered at all in the new GTLD. So some statement of sort of, while acknowledging that this is a sort of deadweight cost of the program. It doesn't seem to be particularly large in terms of the overall effect on the program.
Okay, so I see. So the first point was basically saying that we acknowledge they exist for defensive registrations. The mostly where reasoning is based on the second point, because of only 0.3%, which is a very small percentage. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think I guess I would say, like, viewed from the lens of a trademark holder, the program doesn't look very good.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Oh, no. hopefully we can keep talking.
Jordan, okay. Just because I have this problem, would you, because it's just 0.3%, can we just briefly adhere, can we just briefly quote that 0.3%, which is a very small percentage, and then for details, please look at Section 3. That will make it easier to read.
Sure, yeah, happy to add that
I think
number.
That would be better for, because just looking back, flipping through the document, and then, it's a very simple fact. Okay. No,
that's an easy change. If Jean-Baptiste can take a note of that, because I'm not at my computer, then I'll definitely do that. Although Jean-Baptiste may be who left, I don't know. In any case, if someone can take a note of that, I will do it when I get back to my computer.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Jordan. Thanks.
Hello, I have a question.
Yeah, Wado, go ahead.
Yes, Jordan, so unfortunately I haven't had a good chance to go through the document thoroughly. But I just want to ask, you may recall that I think it was the last meeting when you mentioned something that parking may in some instances actually be an indicator of increased or elevated competition within the GTLD marketplace. This was because one of the reasons for parking, which I think came out from the study, was the fact that some of the registries offer discounts and promotions, and during those discounts and promotions, there are more registrations, and that increased registrations are more usually registrations that lead to parking. So through that...
specific discussion of discounting behavior in the paper now that's been added.
Pardon?
Hello? I said, yeah, one of the changes that was made prior to, it was not made this round, but that was made prior to the last call was in response to some public comments. There's now a specific mention of discounting behavior driving parking.
Yeah, this type of behavior, that's the discounts and promotions, the driving parking, yes. So what I was suggesting was that we can now actually make a conclusion that parking in itself is some instances is a measure or is an indicator of increased competition within the GTLD marketplace. I don't know whether you have maybe mentioned something like that in the paper.
Yeah, sorry, you're right, Wado. I remember you making that point, and I didn't capture it in the notes, so that didn't get transcribed. So I'll add that statement, that discounting behavior itself is evidence of competition. That's a good point.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments for Jordan? All right. Thank you, Jordan. So we still don't have David. So I guess that just leaves me.
Hi, Jonathan. How are you here? I've just joined the meeting.
I see that. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Jonathan, I think we also have Jordan's consolidation of 13, 15, and 33, which I actually have some views on.
Okay, Jordan, are you ready to discuss?
No, now I'm moving around again, so it'd be good to do yours first.
Okay. Sorry, Loreen. Soon.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I believe it. Circulated yesterday, sorry for the lateness, but we went over it in the sub-team call, was an attempt on my part to address some of the concerns raised by the U.S. government, not so much on the recommendations, of which they were pretty much in agreement, but in the findings themselves, particularly those on competition. I think the USG was probably the most skeptical of our findings on competition, and we're not entirely convinced that the new GTLDs represented an economic substitute for the legacy TLDs, the way that Pepsi is, for Coke. And normally when we talk about, economic substitution, it's done in a fairly straightforward way, which is that if you raise the price of one, the demand for the other increases. And so it's amazing how much stuff sort of comes down to price in a lot of economic theory. So what I attempted to do was give a little bit of a common sense overview of how this particular marketplace worked and was unique, and to talk about how these products did represent a kind of an economic substitute, but potentially more in the macro than in the micro. In other words, one of the byproducts of the new GTLD program was to create this more expanded sort of semantic framework for the web. And so, a dot photography is a good substitute for any existing legacy site that had to do with photography, but not an ideal substitute for an existing .com that dealt with plumbing, for example. When looking at the new GTLDs as substitutes, you have to look at the new GTLDs as a whole, and not individually. And when you do that, you, are reminded that, we looked at some analysis that said that people, when they had the option to pursue the concatenated version of a new GTLD in legacy TLDs, and we always use the example of Big Shots Photography, dot photography versus bigshotsphotography.com, that there was a tendency to use the new GTLD. The government sort of pushed back on this and that some of the most popular TLDs were nonsensical as concatenations like .xyz, et cetera. So Jordan and I are talking to, staff and Brian in particular about delving into that, like finding which of these TLDs are nonsensical as concatenations and trying to remove them from the analysis to see if the analysis on substitution still holds. The other challenge in looking at this as a straight substitution problem is that my association with the TLD is longer term than my association is with a soft drink, right? If I you raise the price of Coke, I start buying Pepsi, but each individual Coke or Pepsi doesn't last very long, whereas TLDs tend to linger because they're out there in emails, brochures, web links, blog posts, reviews, etc. And so and given their low cost overall, you don't have an incentive to drop your old TLD, even if you have migrated to a new one. And so, you know, an example that I often use when talking about this is a friend of mine, Scott Stansfield, ran a company called Vertigo Software, and they had vertigosoftware.com, and then on their 10th anniversary, invested in getting in the aftermarket and getting vertigo.com. But they kept Vertigo Software for a number of years after making the transition, after updating their website and their business cards and brochures. They still hung on to the old URL until traffic on it had really diminished to almost nothing. So that's one of the things that makes straight substitution analysis complicated, because the real indicator of whether or not somebody has made a substitution is not dropping their old TLD, but reprinting their business cards or repainting their vans and things, and that's a very difficult thing for this team to study. You know, the extent to which we see some price sensitivity, we keep coming back to this, it's difficult in the primary market because of the price caps. The caps kind of frustrate an analysis of if you raise the price, it'll lead somebody elsewhere because there's such limitations in the price raising that can happen, and they're sort of infinitesimal as a percentage. And so I went through and talked about some of that analysis as well, and there's some literature that says that in this situation, the best place to look is not the extent to which the new entrants cannibalize existing market share, but what their market share is going forward. And so I cited some of that literature and then reminded folks of our finding that, you know, the purchase of TLDs since the introduction of the new GTLD program is pretty even between new GTLDs and legacy TLDs. Which is a better benchmark for potential for competition than the cannibalization of the existing market share of the legacy. We need to look forward instead of backward is kind of the premise of that literature. So that's sort of a quick overview, and then I'm happy to take some discussion.
Can I ask a question, Jonathan? This is Carlton.
Of course.
Yeah, I read the USG's response, especially with respect to the evidence of competition, that portion where they were doubling down on price movement as the largest or probably the singular measure. And they never acknowledged, at any rate to me, in any kind of robust way, that the price caps actually put a finger on the movement of prices. And I'm wondering whether or not we should not start by pointing out that with respect to competition and substitution for legacy GTLDs, with price as the main measure, you couldn't get a measure that was reliable because of the finger on the legacy GTL prices. So I wonder whether or not we shouldn't just start by pointing that out.
Thanks, Carlton. I think that's a good point, and I invite you to take a look at the document that was circulated, because we do make that argument and, in fact, suggest, I guess, in what I like to call a soft recommendation. I mean, everybody can, we could all get together and turn it into a harder recommendation, but it'll probably stir up a hornet's nest of experimenting with relieving those price caps to see what the price and demand behavior is going forward. So there is that. As I said, like a recommendation in the text about ICANN looking into that more seriously. So the price point is made there, and also in the pricing analysis that we circulated and approved earlier. Both of those are new documents that will be making it into this papers. So I encourage you to look at the document. I know it just went around yesterday. And if you think it's insufficient or insufficiently emphasized or something like that, then please do get back to me. And, you know, folks are making comments on this paper. So please do get back to me the next week, and I will make updates to the substitution analysis section. It felt like there was the substitution analysis was a good enough categorization of the USG comments that we could just make it a section rather than editing the existing competition paper and making it a lot easier on our translators and our process of trying to integrate new stuff into the old stuff. So it's just a brand new standalone section in the competition paper. So feel free to look at it and make comments on it and get them back to me if you think that I don't cover it well enough, Carlton. But I certainly agree and do specify that we have lack of data on pricing, which the USG concedes. and that the caps frustrate this analysis, but there are other things to do as well. Even if there was a rapid increase in price, I still wouldn't necessarily dump the TLD right away because of how important it is to capture old emails and blog posts and things like that.
I quite agree with that, too. That's an operational piece that they need to accept. I mean, that is very much a big part of it, too.
That's right. Thanks for your comment, Carlton.
Jonathan, it's Laureen. So,
yes, ma'am.
That was a helpful explanation about where this lives in the document because I was a little confused about that. So there is no recommendation that relates to this. This is just an additional part of the analysis to respond to the USG comment about trying to measure market rivalry more specifically. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So this is just bolstering our findings, and because the USG actually agreed with all of our recommendations.
Right, right. Okay. I just wanted to make sure I understood the context.
Mm-hmm. But everyone do take a look. Like I said, you probably haven't had a chance, but take a look and get back to me with any comments you might have. Any other questions just based on my overall discussion? I was doing my best to channel Stan in this analysis, so there was some rigor involved. Okay, Jordan, how are you doing on your drive?
I'm walking, not driving, but I am about 5 minutes away from being in a place where it's about snowy and loud.
All right.
Maybe you can go back to recommendation 9 in the 5 minutes.
Yes.
I emailed it. I don't know whether I put that email.
Yeah, so folks, why don't you, has everyone received Watto's recommendation E9 email? If you would, let's just take a moment right now to read through it and see if you have any questions or comments.
Is it possible to send around the text where this lives? Because right now this is very standalone, and it's actually, although I can understand what the recommendation says, it would be very helpful to have what it relates to.
I don't think it's possible to send that right now. Maybe after the call, I can send that out.
That would be fine, or Jean-Baptiste probably could also take care of that. It's just very hard to really, for me anyway, understand these things unless I see what it relates to.
Understood.
Well, this is Carlton, and this recommendation is building on the survey that was done by what's the name of the organization? That registrant. I'm sorry?
The original survey, yes?
Yeah, this is coming on that original survey where we looked at registrant responses. And the issue was about the size of the pool was an issue, right?
The size of the pool?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't get that.
And as well as the fact that there might be differences in responses from the same registrants over time, right? That was one issue. As well?
Yeah. Okay. The sequence of events, Carlton.
Yes.
We had an original recommendation that came out from that original survey, and
yes,
we have had some iterations. We have had some iterations to it. So this current iteration is after the public comments of the new sections.
Yeah. Okay. I'm up to speed now. I have it in context.
Okay.
I'm just ready for people to read this and see if there's any questions or comments, and then yes, we're waiting on Jordan.
Okay.
I'm ready whenever you're ready.
Just before that, Jean-Baptiste, I'll request, in addition to the request by Laureen for the background write-up on this, so that they can discuss later on, probably by email. I would also request that maybe you resend that Excel worksheet that you had that was summarizing what was said in the public comments with regard to specific recommendations. So for this particular recommendation, if you can also circulate that so that they have a good context to comment.
Yes, Fado, I can reshare this Excel sheet together with the text from your recommendation.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Thanks, Wado. And Jordan, let me pass the microphone back to you.
Sure. Just as a reminder, I think we're talking about the further consolidation of recommendation 11 into a set of consolidated recommendations that Laureen had already put together. These recommendations have somewhat different goals. The focus of the consolidation that Laureen had previously completed was related. Drop my mic. The focus of the recommendation that Laureen had previously completed was focused on understanding safeguards, whereas the recommendation that I consolidated in is focused on understanding the benefits and costs of additional choice from a consumer choice perspective. However, all of the recommendations use the mechanism of the registrant survey. And so my goal in consolidating them was to say, basically just reiterate, we need to keep doing registrant surveys, and those should encompass both the questions that relate to safeguards and trust, as well as understanding the effects on consumer choice. I think you'd actually end up with basically an identical target audience and even some overlap in questions, because some of the questions related to choice are essentially why did you choose this one? Why do you like this TLD? And that could potentially be related to trust as well. So I made an attempt to consolidate them, and I just sent that out right before the meeting last time, and so I guess Laureen at least now has some feedback, but happy to entertain any other discussion around the proposed consolidation.
Thanks, Jordan. So it's Laureen. And I agree with you that I think this all could be done in a single instrument, and it absolutely makes sense to do that. However, I don't think it makes sense to consolidate this recommendation because it's apples and oranges, and it, frankly, to me, it is incomprehensible to read. It goes from focusing on consumer trust to focusing on entirely different issues of consumer choice. And I think I would recommend, instead of consolidating, we just add a note in both to say, we believe a single registrant survey should be done. Part of it should focus on consumer trust per this recommendation, and then have the same note in the other recommendation focusing on consumer choice, cross-referencing. And that way you still have your single instrument, which makes perfect sense, but you have these recommendations separate and living with the text that discusses the reasoning. To me, this is consolidation, but it makes no sense to consolidate it. It does make sense, however, to do this in a single instrument, and I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, so I guess, Laureen, I'm just a little worried that we're sort of shipping our org chart here in that, like, we're really just saying one thing, right, which is, like, we should keep doing consumer surveys registrant surveys, and the goals of those registrant surveys are multifaceted, right? They're designed to help us understand both issues related to choice as well as safeguards and trust. And it's only because we have sort of shaped our findings the way we have that there's any, I think, question of separating the recommendations. If we had started with recommendations and gone backwards to findings, which would be a little backwards of a thing to do, you could easily imagine sort of talking about the issues related to both choice and trust, and why a registrant survey would be helpful for that. I guess I'm hesitant to have people sort of parse through the list of recommendations, and even if they cross-reference each other, have it look like we're recommending like two things when we're really recommending one thing, which is to do a survey, and we just like want to make sure we gather at least two particular sets of data from that particular survey. We're not actually recommending two things. We're recommending one thing, just for it's trying to do at least two different jobs.
Right, and I appreciate that. And again, we're in agreement on that point. But the fact is, we have organized the report this way, and the recommendations flow from the analysis. One part of the analysis is on safeguards. One part is on choice. So I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one. I do think we can clearly label these, and I think separating them actually reflects the organization we have. We don't have the organization you posited, which started with recommendations. What we have is a report that talks about competition, consumer choice, and safeguards. And to consolidate a recommendation that deals with safeguards and consumer choice, to me, is very confusing.
I wonder if anyone else has views on the question. I mean, I agree this is largely a subjective matter of opinion of how you like the recommendation structured relative to the findings. So if no one else has opinions, does that mean Maureen and I just rock, paper, scissors it?
I don't know. I guess this is Jonathan. I guess my question is whether or not there's a way to the problem is we don't have too many other examples of this, but to the recommendations themselves are in a recommendations section. And we talk about, but we also reference the recommendations in the findings section as well, proximate to the findings. And so the question is there just a way to kind of better sanitize the recommendations so that they stand on their own and you make reference to two different findings for that recommendation? And I guess it's sort of what you were attempting to do, Jordan, in your draft.
Yeah, I agree with Maureen. I've maybe tried too hard to keep the text really simple. It could be like one approach that I think may be worth considering, as you point out,
there's
is
something
to sort
to
of
say,
consider
like, these findings lead to this recommendation, and make them more separate but proximate to each other, and say, you know, this is a recommendation, it's a standalone recommendation, and there's a number of reasons we're making this recommendation.
Yeah, that's right. So what I was thinking was I could take another stab at this and make like a recommendation that more clearly breaks out the two different sort of objectives of data collection. What I would imagine we could do is just, like you say, the recommendations live in the recommendations, and then we could just, in both sections, of the findings, we could refer back to that same recommendation, right, and say, like, and we could just mention that, like, this is, it's Lauren's point, we can sort of cross-reference, but just have it be one recommendation with one number, and just in each section sort of make it clear, you know, why we're trying to gather that particular set of data, and then even be more, like, I think we could add some more words to the recommendation to make it less confusing and basically say, we want to keep doing a registrant survey, and there are two distinct sets of data that we're trying to collect, we want to make sure that the data supports two different types of analysis after the survey is complete, and here they are.
Yeah, I think if things are clearly labeled and separated out a little more, that would make it far less confusing. And then if in the, as you point out, Jonathan, if in the text with the findings, basically the recommendation, you know, for the safeguards reflects the safeguards and then says, and by the way, you know, prior in the report, you know, we talked about part of this recommendation relating to, you know, consumer choice, see pages, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'd have to see it, but conceptually, I think that could work. It's just right now, as Jordan already said, his quest to be concise actually blended these so much as to make it confusing for me. But that doesn't mean it couldn't be separated out more to make it more clear. So I will happily look at the next version.
Sure, that's fine. So yeah, let me make another pass at that recommendation and see if we can make it a little clearer what we're trying to do there.
And I think the other things would be useful to look at is how it would look in the text with the findings, because that's the other place I'm concerned
about.
Yeah.
Right. That's fair.
Right.
Okay. We have a queue, so we'll go to Carlton and then Howe.
Okay. So this is Carlton. I'm there's three issues, and I'm going back to what Jonathan is suggesting because it seems to make sense. We have two issues. We have findings from the survey that deals with both consumer choice as well as with safeguards. And we are recommending another round of the surveys to substantiate the findings and the recommendations that we make from what we now have. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So all we need do is to redraft the findings to point out the objectives that we were looking for in the registrants. And so the recommendations would fall out of that immediately in two places. No?
I mean, that's right. Perhaps the analogy is actually recommendation number one, right? That
right.
It's about formalization analyzing the need for data collection. And because it's a recommendation that stands on its own but is actually met by a lack of data in a lot of different places within the document.
Correct.
And so I think that's the analogous recommendation to having sort of multiple findings that lead to the recommendation. And I think the key is just to make sure that they are discreetly described in the justification and success measures for the recommendations, and then referenced in the findings, so that things are clear. But it is an example where it's really, as Jordan puts it, it's one recommendation for which we have many justifications, similar to recommendation number one.
Yeah. Thank you, Jonathan. So we have a model. That's all I wanted to ensure, that we know we have a model here somewhere.
I think so. Hao, you're next.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Jordan. I think, like Loreen, I had difficulty. In the sub team was working on these recommendations, and I had great difficulty in consolidating them into one recommendation because I felt that they dealt with separate issues that needed to stand out on their own. So I think, like Loreen, I'm looking forward to a clearer text, clearer text with regards to the consolidation. And thanks, Jordan.
Great, thanks, Hal.
And then just to add that I will be dropping off the call in the next 5 minutes because I have anything to run through.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments? So, Jordan, you've got the pen back again to make this dream a reality.
Yeah, we'll do.
Okay. Other comments? Suggestions? Jean-Baptiste, do we have other things on the agenda?
Hi, Jonathan. No, I don't believe so. We had the recommendation from David, but I see he's still not on the call. So,
right.
Unfortunately, no.
Okay, so David was primarily going to give a status update because he and Drew are still refining the language for those recommendations. So keep your eyes peeled in the email for updated language on that, and then same with the competition paper. If you get a chance to take a look at that, if you have questions or comments on that, please get back to me on any refinements and clarifications, prioritizations, et cetera, that you would like to see in that paper. Otherwise, unless there's objection, we'll consider that section approved in principle. But you can have the have a week to make refinements. Okay. All right. Does anybody have any other business?
Do we have any sense of when the Adobe Connect is going to be back in business?
Hi, Lorraine.
It's so much easier with it.
I don't have any information on that at this stage, unfortunately.
So,
fair enough.
Thanks, Jean-Baptiste, and thanks for the question, Lorraine. The other question is... there are other packages like Zoom that allow for screen and document sharing, so that they'd be better than GlobalMeet, and they're free.
Answer that question. Thanks for that, Jonathan, because I was wondering why is it that we don't even, as an emergency, look at one of those documents? Those are in use all over the place. We don't have to be orthodox. So orthodox that we can't use something else in the meantime.
Well, we are using something. I just think it's an inferior something.
The global mean, I can't see, you know. I dial in and that's it. But
I don't know, Jean-Baptiste. I mean, there's a lot going on. I don't want to cause trouble, but if there was a way we could use Zoom or something, then we could get back to that core functionality. Just a possibility. But we can take it offline. Any other business? All right, folks, thanks for being on the call.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Nice hearing your voice, Kyle, and everyone else's.